5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkInSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. I just got back from Phoenix. We had our quarterly business summit with our team at Work in Sports, and a couple of cool notes that came out of that meeting. We have some big things coming, which I'm really like super excited about. There's still a ton of work to be done, but we have the framework in place for some real dynamic changes on our site that will serve you all better, period. You know, we're a customer-focused company, and when we have these quarterly business meetings, basically they're on the premise of what can we be doing to serve our members and our partners better. You know, that's kind of the framework for the discussions. And it's fun because we get to sit back and see what's happening out there in the industry and in the marketplace and other, you know, completely different businesses. What are they doing to serve their customers, and how can we do and maybe employ some of their ideas and throw them in place? And I don't know, it's fun. It's a fun time to be creative. That's how we came up with the idea for this podcast at one point. In fact, last year, we focused really hard on upping the quantity and quality of our jobs. We used to hover around 6,000 to 7,000 jobs at any one time. And in the last year, we've added so many new employers to our site that we're now up to like 10,000. We've added 3,000 more jobs all the time, just more consistently. So think about that for a second. We focus in on many of the small to mid-sized employers in the sports industry. So now when you come to our site, you'll find 10,000 available jobs from all kinds of employers at all levels, many of which you may not have even known existed. It's funny, I go on our site all the time, and as I've said before, I'm in the industry now for 20 plus years, and I'll find some employer I'd never even heard of. Like, I'm looking right now. I had never heard of True North Sports and Entertainment, but when I go on the site, I see they are right now hiring for a manager of corporate partnerships. And then I read a little bit about their bio of what they do, and it's pretty cool. But then right next to it is a job at the Boston Celtics for a senior coordinator of community engagement. So the point is, we have them all. Like, we big and small, you know, the small companies you have never even heard of, agencies in different cities, and then the huge, you know, teams and organizations that you know so well, ESPN, whatever. That was our big push last year, this podcast and upping our job totals. And I'd say both have been a huge success. And that's why I love these meetings. The second note I had from our business meeting was this. 4 times a year I go to Phoenix, and it's a total change from my norm. It's dry, it's hot, it's sunny, no humidity, no rain, clear skies, bright sun. You know what happened this last trip? It rained the whole damn time. I'm inside most of the time anyway working, but come on. I mean, can't a guy get dried out a little bit? Seriously, like, it rained in Phoenix while I was there. Not cool. All right, let's move on to this week's question from John in Missouri. John is going to get a free month on WorkInSports.com for asking a question, having his question answered on this here show. You can do that as well. Email me, podcast@WorkInSports.com, or hit me up on LinkedIn or through our private Facebook group. Many options to communicate with me. And if it's a good question and I read it on the air, yeah, you get a free month. How you like that? Okay, here's a question from John. Hey, Brian, big fan of the podcast. That's also a good point. Start out by flattering me, and there's a much better chance you'll have your question read. Okay, start over. John, hey, Brian, big fan of the podcast. Thank you so much for what you do. I'm currently a senior in college, and I'm probably trying to do too much. I'm interning for a local team, volunteering at the school paper, volunteering in the athletic department. I'm president of a few clubs on campus, have a full class load, and to be honest, some days I am way overloaded. I'm doing this all so I have notable experiences on my resume, but it brings up two questions I have. One, I feel like my time management is really poor. Do you have any advice? And two, is all of this really necessary, or am I just doing a lot of running around like a crazed man for nothing? John, these are two good questions. We're going to deal with the time management part first. Okay. This is not somewhere I've always been an expert. This is something I put a lot of focus into about, let's say, 15 years ago when I became the news director at Fox Sports Northwest. All of a sudden, I was in this role where I had tons of people expecting tons of different things out of me, and my to-do list some days would be 75 deep. Not even kidding. And I needed to become more organized. What I learned from that experience is how important it is for people to start learning time management earlier than I did. I stress to people all the time that they need to focus on time management when they're in the early stages of their career. And I view college as kind of the start of your career because time is now your own to manage. Your effort, your time, your responsibility, your priorities, they're all on you now, right? You're not under anybody else's roof. You're under somebody else's. You're on your own. Sorry, I said that wrong, but you're on your own. So that's kind of the start of your career. You're totally focused on getting you into your career and the pressure's all on you. So that's it. You need to learn time management at that point early on because the workload and demands of your career and life will get harder from here. And if your processes aren't well structured, you'll struggle to manage your own growth, right? You'll, as you grow into more responsibilities and have your life changes and all these different things happening between rent and bills and relationships and kids and then, you know, your job and your promotions, if you don't have a good system in place, you're not going to be able to manage your own growth. So here's what goes wrong when you don't have time management processes in place. Number one, you limit your own potential because you're not functioning well enough. Number two, being inefficient limits your ability to accomplish what you should and can reflect on you poorly. And number three, you scramble your priorities. If you don't weigh out what's most important, you tend to go towards the things you like to do or can accomplish faster. So you put the wrong things first. It's three major things. From time management can fix those things. But if you don't have a system in place, then all those bad things can happen. So I look back at my early career and I think that it's funny. I used to feel stressed when I had a job that I worked 40 to 50 hours a week and I didn't have anything else other than that, really. I mean, I had, yes, bills and apartments and that sort of thing, but really pretty minimal. Now I look back and say, man, I was a chump to be stressed out by that. I've got so much more on my plate now than I did then. And if I couldn't manage my time well, I'd be a wreck. So let's get into this idea of time management. The first thing you need to do before you start to-do listing or structuring or prioritizing or, you know, allotting times or anything like that, first thing you need to do is analyze your overall commitments. This ties into John's second question, but which we're going to get into in more detail later on. But first thing first, take a step back and decide what is essential. Ask yourself a really pointed question. Am I trying to do too much? And if you're asking that question, chances are you are. Okay. Then go even a level deeper and ask an even tougher question. Am I trying to serve too many other people at the risk of hurting myself? Okay. That's a tough one, right? Because you want to give, you want to volunteer, you want to be out there active, charitable, all those kind of things. But you have to sometimes dial back because you're running the risk of hurting yourself. I've known countless people who can't say no to people who ask for help, but they end up stressing and damaging themselves in the name of others. Like, okay, I have this one friend who will work his tail off all week. He has three kids, so he's always at school functions and sporting events. And then I guarantee you, if someone says, hey, can you help me move this weekend? He'll always say yes. I get it. He has a kind heart, but at what cost? He goes back into work on Monday already tired. The stress mounts. He makes a mistake. His boss gets mad. He gets passed over for promotion. And his kids don't get to go to college. All because he helped a friend move. Of course, I'm speaking hyperbolically. I mean, duh, that wouldn't exactly work out that way. But the point remains. You can't overdo it. And especially not for everyone else at the detriment of yourself. You have to keep things in perspective. If you overdo it, you don't do anything well. Figure out what you need, what you want, and what you can give up on your commitments. That is step one in time management, and nothing else you do will matter if you don't do that first step. It's almost like that's step zero. Before you actually even get into the process of time management and trying to improve some of your structures, you need to figure out whether those big rocks you have on your schedule are too much, and if you're too overcommitted, and if there's things you can cut back. That's important. Okay, so let's get into this. How I manage my day. You'll need to embrace your own method, but this will give you a structure or at least help you understand that this stuff is sure as heck worked for me. The first thing I do, and sometimes I do this the night before I kind of close up shop, but then if not, I do it first thing in the morning, is I write down a list of all the things that I need to get done today. Now, this is just a list form. No priority, no status, no nothing. Just a list. I sit there and brainstorm for 10 minutes, writing down all the things that need to get done. Writing things down helps you remember them. This is a fact. So while I'm very adept at my iPhone, and there are plenty of apps, and there are plenty of ways that you can put things in your phone and carry them with you everywhere, I like to do this on paper, old school, or for me in a notebook. The physical action helps me think through all the processes. As I'm writing it, I'm thinking about the steps that go into it. Your brain's functioning in that space. I don't have the same reaction when I'm typing it into my cell phone. I did this for a while. I tried to use online apps, to-do lists, whatever else. It didn't work for me. Now, that might work for you. So continue with that. But my recommendation is to have somewhere you write it down. So now at this point, I just have a list. It's static. It doesn't say very much. It's kind of lame. It's just a list of things. I mean, it might be 30 deep, but it's just a list. So now I go back and I organize each one of those things into three categories: A, B, and C priorities. A are the must get done, high priority, high need for focus, high expectations from other people. Other people are involved in it. It's really important. People are waiting on it. Those are the A priorities. The B's are the less a priority, still important, possibly less time consuming too. And the C's are the need to get done, but not necessarily today, or could be done in a really short time, or, just something that's on the radar, but not necessarily super important right in this moment. Okay. So I don't like to put too many categories on it, because then you just end up spending so much time parsing your list. I just want to start to segment things so I can really prioritize my actions throughout the day. Now I've got my list of what's important. But how you attack the list matters too. Many people who will try to get you to buy their courses and try to sell you on something will tell you that you should take on your biggest, most time-consuming challenge of the day first. Take on the big challenge first. This may work for you. You may love this style. You may follow all those ebooks or people's courses, and they tell you that, start your day out by taking on your biggest challenge. This does not work for me. And that's part of what works with any time management system, is that you might get a structure, but you still need to figure out what works for you. Me, I start my day, and if I just jump into my biggest challenge of the day, I'm not ramped up yet. I'm not really functioning fully yet. I'm not trying to sound lame, like, gotta have my coffee first. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, I don't know. I need to get a little bit of a sense. I need to check a couple boxes first. I like a little ramp up time. So I may bang out two or three of my easier, less time consuming B kind of tasks early on. I won't get consumed by it. I'm not going to sit there and waste 2 hours in my B list, but I might go bang out a couple quick emails. I might go post a couple things on social media. I might promote something that we did, 2 weeks ago. I might respond to a couple emails, spend a half an hour kind of checking a couple list things off my list. My first half hour, checking a couple things off my list, feeling like I'm making a little bit of progress. I like that sense of momentum. I like crossing things off. That's what gets me going and feeling accomplished. So I get a few things checked off, and then I go back to my big thing. Now, don't get mired in the small things, and don't take a break on Facebook for an hour. I'm just saying, for me, I like to check off two or three small things, follow-ups, emails, simple tasks to get things rolling. Then I go after the big project of the day. Take today, for example. I did a few social media posts. I wrote 5 emails responding to people before I jumped into the script for today's podcast, which is my big to-do today. I alternate this way. I work on something that may take an hour of time. Then I go knock out a few 10-minute projects. Then back to a bigger priority, and back and forth. You attack your whole list this way and make real progress. Now, one last point. There's a little nuance here. I also kind of reverse and engineer my schedule a little. And what I mean by that is I start the day by figuring out how many A priorities I have, and then factoring how much other time I'll have. So if I have 4 things on my A list today that I have to get done by the end of the day, and I estimate each one of them will take me about an hour each, that means mentally I know I can get everything I need done today. I'm not going to be stressed because I know I have the time to accomplish all my A goals. And that's important. Finish your A goals. So that gives me the freedom to pick off a few smaller projects along the way as well and see my list dwindle. Setting expectations for yourself is key. You might have another day where you have 10 A priorities and you might be thinking, I don't have enough time today to get all of these done. So now I almost have to prioritize my A's as well and say, but these five need to get done and I don't have time to dawdle in the bees, right? So you're going to adjust this process every day depending on how weighted your list is. So you just have to be honest with yourself about where everything fits and how you can attack it. If you don't know, if you don't prioritize and write things down, you'll never even know what you have ahead of you. And that causes a frantic approach that is not healthy or a strong way to perform. Don't fly by the seat of your pants. That's the big rule here. Write things down, set priorities, give yourself some structure, and enjoy the process of completing tasks. Those are good things. Give yourself a high five. Now I want to jump to section two of John's question. To recap, so a halftime recap, since it's been a while, John is a college senior, way overscheduled, feeling frantic and consumed. And he asks, is all of this necessary or am I just doing a lot of running around like a crazed man for nothing? John, good for you. You're questioning the concept of just do a little bit more and you'll reap benefits. You hear this so often. You know, what's the 1% more you could be doing today? I hate this concept of more. Everyone wants more, 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 more. Just give me another slice of your body. Give me a pinky. I want more. How about better, right? How about more efficient? If I told you you could do more or you could work more efficiently, which would you lean towards? I think you'd go towards efficiency, right? Make the most out of your time. Just having a booked schedule doesn't mean you are doing the right things to advance your career. I think some people look at their schedule and say, I'm active, I'm around, I'm moving all the time, I'm busy. And that is a sense of accomplishment, but really it's not. I envy the people that are less frantic, less buzzy being around, trying to do everything and be everywhere, but still accomplish so much. Your goal should be to be better, not to be more efficient, not to be doing more. If volunteering at the athletic department sounds great, but what are you doing? What are you learning? Who are you meeting? Are you building relationships there? Are you networking? If you are not doing these things, then what is the point? Now you have a choice. Either make sure you're doing those things and make it really valuable and make it very efficient, or give it up because you're not getting the value out of it. If you're working at the school newspaper, sure, it sounds great, but do you have a strong mentor there? Are there editors who are helping teach you how to create valuable content? Are you being criticized? Are you learning the skills to publish a paper? If you're not doing these things, then what is the point? If it's just student run and you don't have anybody else you're learning from, well, just repeating the same mistakes isn't very efficient either. Are you on the advisory board of your church or the president of the organization of undergraduate communication students? Check how much time you dedicate to these tasks and start to evaluate them for their impact on you. What are you getting out of it? I know, sounds selfish, right? Okay, yep, I'm selfish. Sorry, it isn't. You have to look out for yourself. And if you are constantly sacrificing your limited capacity for things that aren't helping you personally, mentally, physically, or career-wise, you may need to cut them loose. Maybe volunteering at your church is the one thing all week that makes you feel whole. Great. Keep doing it. That mental power is important. That mental clarity and those moments that really help you feel grounded. Awesome. But know you have to make some hard choices here. Here's what I like to see everyone do. Once you determine who you want to be when you grow up, right? So if you set out and say, I know I want to be the GM of a minor league team, or I know I want to be a sports reporter. Study job descriptions really freaking hard and discover exactly what is needed to be successful in those roles. I'll use the example of a sports reporter since that's kind of my realm. You study and find out you need to know camera work, video editing, graphic manipulation, storytelling. You need a demo reel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We could go through all the different things you need. Well, now when things come up on your schedule, you ask yourself the question, should I be president of this club or should I spend that time watching YouTube videos and learning Final Cut Pro? Ask yourself, does this action report back to who I want to be? Does it reconcile? Should I volunteer at my fraternity event or should I take an online course on Photoshop? Should I be a teacher's assistant this semester? Or should I try to work at the local public access channel reporting at local high school games? It's not about doing more. You can't do everything. It's about choosing the right things. And I'll add this one last thought. Have some freaking fun. Have balance in your life. You don't need to spend every moment on your career path. Go to a party, drive to the beach, blow off classes one day to go to a national park and camp out for the weekend. Living a full and balanced life will always help you feel like the best version of yourself. So give yourself a break. Not everything has to be focused on your career. I know it isn't for me. I hope my bosses aren't listening. John, I think that should do it. That was a lot. I think I talked for a long time there, but this is something I think is really important for everybody to stay grounded on and to realize that there is not this need to just keep adding on top and adding more and adding more and adding more. Look for ways to be your best and most efficient, and you'll feel a lot better. And don't be afraid to say no sometimes. Just, it's okay. It doesn't make you a bad person. Say no. Say I can't. All right. Time for me to go do a couple of quick tasks before I get into any more big stuff for today. Get it? All right, whatever. Talk to you all later. If you have questions on this or anything else you hear on these shows, hit me up on LinkedIn or join our private Facebook group by searching the Work and Sports Podcast on Facebook. Answer a few questions, gain entry, hang out with me and about 1,000 other career-minded people, sports career-minded people. And I will talk to you guys all on Wednesday. Thanks. Bye.